Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We should all have that spirit of joy. Amen. We do have a marvelous Savior.
Amen.
Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for your all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Paul spent some ink in nearly every epistle he wrote to thank and comment and to those that were a blessing to him, those that his fellow laborers. And as he did, I would like to say tonight that I really appreciate and thank you as co-laborers.
Amen.
For the faithfulness over the years, for the testimony that you have. You have ministries here that, and then you send out to help ministries there, and I just wanted to take this moment to say thank you for that. Your reward will be in heaven. I feel that we are co-laborers, and that and God has worked mightily. We've seen a glorious thing over the years as God has worked through some faithful people, simple, faithful people willing to step out and do God's will. You've supported some of the people that no one else in Christianity probably ever would. And there's a reason for that. God chose the foolishness to confound the wise. But not every Christian work is as God has planned it to be. And I'm confident that what we have done is what God has intended to be done. And I'll touch a little bit on that. I didn't come tonight with a message. When I get stuck in the middle, or placed in the middle, or however you want to put the word, I like to give an opportunity to take that opportunity to explain a little bit what we're doing, and some of the practical things. We've been in Mexico. Next month it'll be 27 years. Yeah, don't even seem possible that my wife's that old, but. She really is. but it's been quite a life. Never would have dreamed as a farm boy that would have been what the Lord would have pulled me out and put me into. I didn't go to Mexico originally to preach the gospel, rather to be a help to the men that were already there. And as I learned the language and started to fill the shoes, I've actually been involved in the preaching and Bible studies and being a part. I still see myself as a help to those that lead out, but I think the Lord has used some efforts over the years. We started out in San Luis Potosí with Dale and Bill, and then the thing grew. There was, as you know, some of you may know, a bunch of us joined, and then we split and went to León, and then we went to Aguascalientes, and I went back to San Luis, and then to Querétaro. And we're now in Pachuca. Each of these places presented a real challenge, different challenges, I would say. The first in San Luis, the thing that really impressed me was that they are just really tardy. Late. We got a translator. But they were always late, just everybody late. And I'm from Michigan, the center of time study and production. And, you know, these people just... And it's still a problem in the church in San Luis is being late. And at that time I spoke no Spanish whatsoever. So I don't know the problems that Bill and Dale were facing with the people, but that was my impression of San Luis. These people just don't get up. I mean, it just, anyway, that was San Luis. And then we went to León. Yeah, wake up. In León we had great oppression. There was, persecution. There was people out to hurt us. and occasions did. Everyone from little kids to old ladies. The priest paid kids with bread to go and throw stones at us. But there was an open door. And many of you have heard, and some of you haven't. Leon, the Lord just opened the door and blessed, and people got saved. And it's just a tremendous blessing. And that's where my eyes really got open to the power of God. I was saved as a small child, and I raised up in a church, but I didn't see that type of thing. And the truth is, very few people do. Very few people see God work in such a marvelous way. I was over there a few months ago again, and there was one of the several meetings, and there was 150, 200 people, families changed, people that should be in jail are now saved and preaching the gospel. People that their marriages were destroyed and they're back together and raising their children correctly. And it's just a marvelous thing. And that's one of the many, many blessings that I call comfort from. And we as co-laborers will rejoice with those ones as they one day. From there we went to Aguascalientes, and that city, the people just didn't care. I remember standing out there in front of this big mall type thing and shouting and preaching, and they just ignored you. I don't know if Joe remembers the day when he was out there and he was preaching, and they just passing by, and nobody would stop. And he just started shouting one phrase, and I don't remember the phrase. I don't know if you remember it, Joe. He just started shouting that phrase, and finally somebody stopped. So we right up kept shouting. And then some others got around behind to see why they're shouting at that guy. And then the first thing you know, Joe broke into his message and he had some people to preach to. But these people it was just really difficult. But there's a church there today. Some people did care. The Spirit touched some people and the Word of God moved in some hearts. There's two meeting places there today, one in the park and one in a building. They actually filled the building up and couldn't fit. They went to the park and the Lord continues. And there's brothers there that are still preaching the gospel. There's brothers there that are still doing the work of the Lord. And we just praise the Lord for that. Michael and I then went back to San Luis Potosí and went to the other side of town. And that presented another set of challenges. The Lord just gave us a whole bunch of young people. At one time there was 80 young people and they were just, I was the only old guy there, and I wasn't that old back then, but anyway, they're just all these young kids, and we had a blast. We played football, basketball, we did, but every night, but one night a week, which was the night we had our church meeting, they were downtown, and a half a dozen to even more of the young men would stand up and preach. 13, 14-year-olds were preaching. And there was so much curiosity in the town. People come out and they would be setting up waiting for us. And then we'd preach and then we'd break into groups and they would divide up and then we was there till 2, 3 in the morning sometimes having debates, and if somebody got rowdy and started, the same people would turn around and say, "Hey, we're having a conversation. You behave or get out." And one day the governor or the president of what they call a mayor, of the town came down, and he broke in and tried to scare us and run us off, and they pushed him out. They took the mayor of San Luis Potosí and shoved him out and said, "We don't want you here. We don't need you." And this went on for a couple of years, and it was a wear out. We went preaching in the mornings in the streets, and then we had down there at night, and then till the middle of the night, and this went on for 2 years where we just had this group, and I don't know what ever happened to them. Some I know have a few come back and are meeting in other churches that actually got saved through the witness and the testimony. But that was a pretty exciting time. The real challenge was dealing with these young people that got arrogant in the whole deal. Here they are confounding these older people and things and that was one of the sad things I saw, is that they were hurt by perhaps me allowing them to get arrogant, and I was proud of them. I was part of the thing, and so But these young people did a work of the Lord for a couple of years, and some of them are still going on. And but that was San Luis. We went to Querétaro. We got there. The church has already started, and we just kind of fit into the group. The thing that impressed me there was the desire of men to serve the Lord. They just really wanted to get involved, and Michael had quite a group that he taught, and that church is doing really well. Amen. They really are. They have a couple of elders that are founded. They understand the value of the church over their own selves and their own plans. They're not there looking to lord over or take advantage, but to serve. They're good men. There's two different meetings, one in the park and one in a lot with a tarp over it. And there's growth, and there's depth in their teachings, and there's involvement. The thing that impressed me about that in the beginning, they got toward the point where we've taken up offerings, where we need to get a little more structured, and let's open a bank account. And I was in the meeting where there was 11 or 12 men, Mexican men, and Michael asked them, we need to open a bank account, who's willing to open a bank account in your name? And these are men that want to serve the Lord. They've got a desire to. And every one of them had enough baggage from before they were saved that opening a bank account would be a problem. And then it really came home that we're working for the second generation. These guys have gotten messed up in so many things. And that's the way it is in every place we go in Mexico. And we're now working into the second generation. And I'm praying the Lord that use these young people that were the children at that time, and that they've grown up, that they have a burning desire to serve the Lord and get involved. Because there's so many limitations with these ones that were reaching first generation. There's so many limitations. There's so many things. That brings me to Pachuca. We ended up with a couple of couples. We still got another couple that still come. They're married, but not to each other. And they've got a life together with someone, and their spouse is somewhere else, and they're married to someone else, but they can't get a divorce because they won't let them get a divorce because that would be sin. And we just got a lot of problems like that. And just recently, we've run into two different situations of domestic violence. The man's a fall down drunk, and he went after the mother of a young girl that's been coming to their meetings from the beginning. She's probably, I think, the mother saved, and he went after her with a hammer and busted her face up, and it's that type of thing. The other situation, he went after her with a machete, and he got enough wisdom to back away from it, and before he actually hit her with it, but he beat her up with her fist and spent some time in the hospital. That's the kind of situations we're dealing with, and you pray for it. We need wisdom. How do you deal with that? What do you say? Marco went and says, you need to get out of that situation. This woman that was chased with a machete, you need to get out of that situation. You need to kick him out. So she did. The next thing, he gets a phone call, and the man wants to talk to Marco. And of course, you know Marco. He's about this tall. And he called around, and nobody was available, so he just went. And I heard that he was on the way, and I called. And I said, Marco, don't go there. He says, I'm already here. We're having a Bible study. And so I'm still holding my breath that this guy's just baiting him. I don't know I'm real skeptical, but he's having a Bible study now with this every week with this couple, and pray that the Lord touch his life. And we've seen God take that type of person and change him.
Right.
Just mentioning the changing power of God, there was one man that we won to the Lord in Aguascalientes, and he'd been on drugs and drinking to the point that his mind was cloudy, and he talked a little bit funny when he talked, and you tried to explain things and it just didn't go in good, and so he'd explain to the wife, and the wife would work with him, and about 6-7 years later he called me up and he said, Mike, it's clear, my mind's clear. And it took that long for the effect to come out, and he spoke clear, and he says, I understand things now easily, and you know, These are the type of people we're dealing with and the challenges we've had. There's a lot of effort, a lot of works that go out in the name of Christian missions under the title of a missionary. And there's some new ones here. Most of you know what we do and how we do it, but for the few that may not have heard, we're not there in a social work. We're there to preach the gospel. We take a couple verses very seriously. If you turn into 1 Corinthians 9:16, says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for the necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And then in 1 Corinthians 1:21, these are verses that I've heard all my life in church, growing up in Christian religion. 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that it is in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." A lot of things are done in Christianity and as missionaries in the name of preaching. But we do preach. We actually stand in the street and preach the gospel. The men preach, and we have two different ways. We either go to the streets where the houses are, and we knock on doors and give them a tract and say, "We're going to be preaching in front of your house in 10 minutes. You're welcome to come out." And we stand out there and we preach a gospel message to the top of our voice that they and their houses can hear. And those that come out, we try to speak with them. We try to have Bible studies with them. We try to continue. It's not just preach and we disappear. But the preaching is where we start to plant the seed. As the Bible says, by the preaching. We also go down to the plazas and to the parks, spend some time in the open markets. And we are passing out tracts, but somebody stands up and preaches the gospel. And many of you here know that because some of you are preaching that manner. But that's the type of mission work that we do. Susan will tell you maybe in Friday about what the ladies are doing. They go and knock on doors, and they try to get people to take a gospel tract and to listen to their testimony and to try to witness to them, house by house. They went through several neighborhoods, but we're not there in a social work. We're not there trying to better their way of living. We're not there to help little poor children in a physical way. We're there that they might know Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's the mission work that we are doing. We asked you to pray for us in Pachuca. We've been there 4.5 years, going close to 5 years. We had a few people in the beginning, but because they didn't want to get their marriage situation straightened out and there was embarrassment, they've disappeared. We had some others come in. We've had a family that's been real faithful for over 2 years. But just recently, the Lord has just opened the doors, and we've baptized 15 people a few months ago. There's another 15 that we're right now planning a baptism for them, 15 or more. Families, three whole families have come in, husband, wife, two or three of the children. They've touched a couple sisters. They've touched one of the little boy about 12 years old, I guess. He was listening to the Bible studies of the family and of the cousins or whatever. And anyway, he shows up and he's accepted the Lord. He gets up, makes a clear statement, reads some verses. This is what I believe. And this, he shows up the next week after having a serious accident. He'd had a serious accident a few weeks before and had hit his head. They were concerned for him. He comes back and stood up in the open meeting and says, "I want to share this verse. And for all things work to good for good to those that love God." He says, "That woke me up to eternity." And I thank the Lord for that accident and that thing. So we're just thrilled. God is just really blessed. Three of the men are faithfully sharing in the open meeting. They come prepared. They're taking part in the meeting. One has got enough nerve to get up and actually preach in the street, and he's enjoying it. He just loves it. So he takes lunch hour and comes. One of the things we're trying to do is replace ourselves. And that really came to light. We had a men's meeting, and those three men were there, and they wanted to be a part of our ministry, the missionaries, Marco and this other Noe, another man we work with there, a missionary out of Leon, and myself. We wanted to know when they could get with us and support our ministry. And they went on for, you know, seemed like an hour to me, talking about how to get the schedule worked out. And we're flexible. We can be there. When can you be there? And I finally said, wait a minute, fellas, you're missing the whole point. The purpose here is that we support your ministry. And the one brother that's pretty sharp, he says, in a pair of words, that changes everything. And so we're at that point now where they're looking to pick up their own ministry, where they says, you know, this is the night, this is the hour that I'm going to go preach every week. This is what my ministry is going to be. And then we'll fill in and try to support them until we're not needed any longer. And that's the type of ministry that we work toward. Would anyone have a question or anything that... We don't usually do that here, do you? You usually get told, but... Did you have a question or anything before I sit down? If I can't answer it, we'll let somebody else work at it. Once again, huh? Yeah, once again, I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate your testimony and your faith, your love for the Lord. It's an inspiration. The church is there. Pray for you. Pray for you continually. They appreciate the sacrifice. You've given up your finances. You've given up your youth. In some cases, your parents, to go and preach the gospel. And may the Lord richly bless you for it.